Walked away, God knows it's you. Let it out, just let it go, and time will heal with time, you know. This I know. The biggest plans, the biggest dreams, and the biggest mouth I can't believe. I wish I didn't know. Another year, another loss, and when you don't deliver up the cost, sometimes it hurts to breathe. I come so close to my heart, the lowest low, the darkest dark. I made your spirit freeze. If you look just one more time, I'm sure you'd come to find one last thing in me you know is true. For everything I'd ever need, God knows it's you. Yeah, God knows it.
Yeah, that one is God Knows by Pure Inform. We played them for the first time on The Underworld just last week. I'm here with Guy Harvey. Hey, Guy.
Hey, what's happening, everyone?
We're just trying to rock, man. Gonna have a cool guest coming up. He's not in the studio just yet, but we expect him here anytime. And he's got some awesome music. We'll just go more into that later. And in the meantime, we're just going to play some more music. This next one is Atmosphere by Mindset X.
All I see is pretty colors, puppies and flowers, love one another. All I see is pretty colors, puppies and flowers, love one another. All I see is pretty colors, puppies and flowers, love one another.
The last one was Silent by Vegas Temper. Wow, my voice sounds very high today. I'm very high today. That didn't... No, never mind. This is The Underworld. I'm Mike. That sounds even worse than before. I'm Mike, and got Guy Harvey and now our guest Steve Doe in the studio with me here. And I was going to say something, but I don't remember what. That happens all the time. What was I going to say, Guy? Throw something out there. Anything. Come on.
Look at me.
I don't know. So it begins. If you want to call into the station here, if you have a band that you want to hear today, you want to hear in the future, think we should know about, or if you're in a band and you want to give out some information for an upcoming show, then give us a call at 430-9722, and that's 430-WSCA. And website for this show is underworldrock.com, and you can find the podcasts, email links, and lots of pictures and silly stuff like that on it. We're going to be talking with Steve Dolby in a minute here, but we're just going to do one more song first. This is Song in the Air by Adria. That was Adria with Song in the Air. And as I said before, got guest in the studio with Guy and me here. This is Stephen Doe. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Glad you could make it down here, or up here. You're coming in from Manchester, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so up here, out here, whatever. Anyways, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You say that now, but you haven't
that
seen...
That'll change.
You might not know how we butcher everything here. Well, I say we, but I mean I butcher everything here. So I started playing your music a couple weeks ago on the show, and must say, it's good stuff, man.
Thank you.
Now, you write, perform, and record all your own stuff, is that right?
Yeah, write and record everything right in the comfort of my own bedroom.
Wow.
Little tight quarters, but works good for what I need to do.
The recording came out sounding great.
Yeah,
it did.
I was happy with it. I changed my recorders. The first disc that I ended up doing was with an analog cassette, and that just wasn't doing it for me. And finally, I was lucky enough to switch it over to digital 8-track, and just loved it. The quality's much better. I mean, you have definitely more control of it. So, and I think it shows in the new disc.
Yeah, now I've heard a couple songs from your first disc. What was I think it was your first one. I was looking at your bio sheet.
Right, the first disc was Trial. It was actually a compilation of a whole bunch of different demo stuff that I had done over the years, and I put it out in 2003. And the original Trial that came out actually had 19 songs on it, and I kind of had to shorten
it down. That's kind of a long demo there.
it was mostly for myself. I mean, I didn't want to, you know, give it all out. I didn't want to send it out. It was just kind of like, you know, I have all these songs. I might as well just get them all copyrighted and get them protected and stuff and make a compilation disc. Gave it out to some family, friends, some different people, got some good response to it. And I said, well, you know, let's see if we can send it out there and see what people think of it. And we decided to shorten it up, brought it down to 10 tracks. And it was a lot of great response we had to it.
Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah. Well, I know that the song Judy is from the first one. There was at least one other song that you sent me that was from Trial.
Right, Journey's Return was
Journey's
the other
Return,
one.
That's right. And then your second disc is Playing with Time.
Yes.
And I've been listening to that one at my real job quite a bit the last couple weeks, and a lot of great music on there. And one thing that I've been wondering, the drums on there, is that a machine or is that a kit?
That's I got a lot of questions on that. What I have is a Roland TD-7 electronic drum set, mm-hmm. V-drum head I have for my snare, and then set up normally, use the brain module. And then I run it MIDI into a drum machine so that I can do, especially on the songs, most of the times when you hear it, it's on the complex songs. I need it just so everything is tight and, you know, solidified exactly at the right meter. So it worked out great for me, you know, to be able to do those sections, do it in a piece, put it in a frame, look at it, listen to it. If I need to change anything, I can, you know, edit it right there rather than having to do the track entirely over again from beginning
cool.
to end.
So, but it is all you, it's not just is it all you, but because it takes a certain amount of talent to program a drum machine just to get the drum tracks you've got, but you did play those drum tracks.
Every bit of those tracks are played live into the drum machine, and it worked out great for me because I could use the drum machine because I also did my keyboards into there also, and it allowed me to do a mix down, so it was perfect little micro mixing sections for me to put in the drums, put in the keyboards, get it the way I want it to sound, levels and everything like this. Anything that I needed to change, I could change it. And then it was, okay, great, we're set to go. And then I can run it stereo into my digital 8 and then do bass tracks over that and then do my rhythm guitar tracks and then leads and stuff over that.
Wow. Well,
I got a little confused along the way there. Now, what was this? You actually did play a kit into it?
Yeah, so Roland TD-7, it's got a MIDI out, and I run that into the MIDI input of my drum machine, Boss DR5.
And I just want to let you know, anybody out there who hears this know that now that we know this, there's absolutely no hope for the rest of us. You can do the whole thing.
So when you perform, again, I'm from your bio sheet, you performed at...
The New York International Music Festival.
Thank you, thank you. It was right on the tip of my brain, but it was never going to come out on its own.
Yeah.
So how do you go perform in...
I used to do open mic stuff years ago, go and do open mic stuff. Plus, I had guys that I would jam with here and there, and, you know, sometimes we just do, like, little one-night gigs and stuff like that. So now when I go out and perform, especially like when I did at the New York Music Festival, it was just simply a CD with basic tracks on there, rhythm tracks, drums, bass, keyboards, anything like that.
Okay, and then you were playing over the
top
of it.
Just played right over the top of it.
Okay.
Yeah, it worked out good for me. And then sometimes, like I said, if I do an open mic, I'll bring the drum machine, and I'll have everything programmed into that, and then I can just bring the drum machine up there, and that holds, you know, depending on the size of the songs, I can hold maybe like 4 or 5 songs on there.
Yeah, makes it easy.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. And you're just shredding on top of that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice.
Well, you know, let's go a little further. Now, we heard a lot of phrasing along the way there, too, so that's a kind of important part of the picture. That was what I really liked last time I was here and listened to your stuff. I'm like, okay, there's a zillion guys out there who have no restraint. All they do is just, but they forget about actually attempting to make music on the guitar as well. And that was one of the things that really impressed me even more.
I appreciate that just because, I mean, it's something I definitely shoot for. I mean, I've heard so many times, so many of the guitar players, you know, great guitar players and soloing and stuff like that, but there's a time and a place for it. You know what I mean? You write the song, and the song has to have as much focus and attention as soloing. I mean, you spend all those hours practicing solo, ripping it up, doing all these great things, scales, arpeggios, doing your sweeps, practicing your alternate pickings, all the different types of styles, I guess, but you don't pay attention to just simply writing a song,
Exactly. Structuring
a song. And once you write the song, it has to retain a certain type of melody. And if it doesn't have a melody to it, then you're not going to hold the listener's attention. It doesn't go anyplace. All the greatest guitar players that I ever listened to, the ones that I admire, the ones that I look up to, all had what we call restraint, like Steve Vai. Steve Vai is one of the ones that really comes to mind because most of the time he doesn't show off. He doesn't do these blistering, incredible arpeggio sweeps. And I guess, and all of a sudden, you know, out of, you know, the context, when it calls for it, he does it. And then it's just like, whoa, just as good as anybody out there. But he doesn't feel the need. He has to show it off every single time.
Exactly. And to a lot of people, just when you're just going nuts all the time, anybody who just plays over the top too much, to the average person, it sounds like digits in Morse code.
Right. Yeah, it's just...
Well, they'll be impressed by it, by the dexterity and the speed, but they, you know, they don't know what it is they're listening to. If you're ripping off solo after solo nonstop, they kind of get numb to it.
You know, the funny thing is I had a teacher around this area, and he had the funniest saying about that. He said, you can do all that stuff, but I tell you what, man, at the end of the day, your girlfriend's humming my tune.
That's right. It's true.
Perfect.
It's all about melody. I mean, that's the thing. You have to be able to sing it, hum it. And, if, you know, whether it's the melody that the guitar is singing itself by doing a solo or, you know, a melody line within that, or the song itself has to have a certain type of melody. And if it doesn't do that, then, you know, like you said, you know, your girlfriend's not going to be humming it.
Yeah, I noticed
in both ways, yeah.
I'll just let that one go.
Yeah. Please do. Please do. I noticed in your songs, dang it. Here we go. Somewhere in here, I'm going to actually be happy with the sound. Shut up, guy. I noticed the melody drifting back and forth between different instruments. And, you know, that's something that, you know, if you look at some of the really big names out there, Dream Theater, people like that, they do that all the time. But but I don't think you hear it much in the people that are still up and coming.
No,
it's a level of finesse that a lot of people never achieve.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of guys write songs specifically to show off, specifically to just solo like crazy, and that's fine, you know, in a certain context. I mean, there's, you know, great guitar players that have done it and that are still, you know, guys that I idolize and look up to and respect. Like Jason Becker was one of those guys. He wrote music to just show off and do things that were just incredible. But the thing is, the music supported it. If the music doesn't support it and you're just showing off and doing all these crazy solos, it doesn't work. In his context, it worked. And what I try to do musically, like you said, with Dream Theater and stuff like that is, I mean, I play so many different instruments. I write melodies for each instrument. You know what I mean? This song may come together, you know, around the piano part. It may come around for a keyboard part, or the bass line could be the part that's singing the melody. I may write it around that, and then everything else has to be melded into that.
Right. So instead of just writing a song, it ends up more like you're composing it as any, you know, orchestral composer has to do.
Yeah.
And it comes off as much more complex and much more interesting, I think.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I've always been drawn to, especially like orchestra music, any type of classical music arrangements and stuff like that, and being able to write for the different instruments, because sometimes you're not going to get the sound that you're hearing in your head on the guitar. It may be the bass. It may be, you know, something that's coming from the piano or keyboards or a certain, you know, instrument that you use. That could be the sound that you're hearing. And if you only sit there and say, well, you know, I wrote the song, I need to shred, you know, and just use the guitar to do that, then you lose what your original intention is, and it gets lost in the translation. And then what happens? The people listening to it, you know, don't get it either. So your message doesn't come through. So you have to be able to be right for the different instruments that are out there.
When you said that, I had like a mental image of just, you know, troglodyte guitarist must shred now. Grog will shred. Sorry, non sequitur there. I gotta run through the weather real quick, and if you could dig out that disc. So we can throw on some of your music as soon as we're done with weather. That'd be cool.
Right.
That'd be
cool. Now it's time to hear Mike butcher the weather.
Listen to me butcher the weather. As normal, the weather exists, and it's mostly outside. So if you are planning on going outside anytime in the next few days, these are some of the conditions that you might encounter. For example, tonight, you'd have a slight chance of drizzle after 1 a.m., areas of fog after 1 a.m., otherwise increasing clouds with a low around 35. Wednesday, periods of rain or drizzle mainly after 1 p.m. Areas of fog, high near 46, south wind between 14 and 16. Chance of rain is 80%. What, guy? Don't do that. if people had any idea... No, actually, that's not that bad. Never mind.
Yes.
Wednesday night. What? Go ahead, break in.
It really is that bad. You see, you know, the guy was doing like the perfect run on the news, and he's reading away.
Well, that's just it. I'm just
stick my hand in front of him, and the poor guy wears glasses. So I guess that makes me a jerk.
Well, that's not what makes you a jerk, but you're a jerk before. But but fear not, your status is secure.
So what day were you on?
I was on Wednesday night, which has a chance of showers mainly before 10 p.m. Cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy. Should I do it in my cheesy DJ voice?
It worked before.
Cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy with a low around 39. West wind between 9 and 16 miles an hour. Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 52. West wind between 9 and 11 miles per hour. That's all I'm going to do. I don't like doing the weather. I don't know why I keep doing it. If you want to know what the weather's like, go outside and take a look. Or do like I'm doing it. Get it off the internet, please. All right, so. Disc. Excellent. Any particular song you'd like to start with today?
Anything that suits your fancy.
All right.
They're all pretty good on there. I hope
agree.
People like them.
I'm just going to fire off with number one then. This is from Steve's Playing With Time disc, and it's the first track of it, and it's called Awakening.
Thank you.
Well, you guys have been listening to Stephen Doe on his disc. I've been listening to him putting on a guitar clinic here in the studio. Silence.
Silence, and silence falls, and the dust settles, and nobody really cares until we start talking about something. So.
Okay, kind of curious, you know, you managed to get some pretty cool things to happen, and I'd look at you if this mic was positioned right, but if you move it around, it sounds kind of funny to everybody.
Then pick it up.
Yeah, I look like a radio show or a television announcer, then I look like even more like an idiot, but that's okay. You know, what other things did you manage to do where you got to, you know, get into festivals and stuff? I mean, maybe some of the story, the history of how these things came about. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, the New York Music Festival was one of those things that it kind of came about by accident. I had sent out a demo to a record company who was accepting demos, unsolicited material. I was like, great, you know, so sent them a demo. And all of a sudden I got a phone call, and I was like, what's this about? So I called them back, and they were like, we really want you to be in the festival. And I was like, okay, didn't know there was a festival. So it was all new to me.
And step one, know that there is a festival.
Yeah.
Step
I'm,
one, know that there is
I'm
a
writing
festival.
This down.
But step two, when they call, the first thing you say is no.
So I didn't say no. I said, okay, how much is it? Told me the price. I said, okay, well, I'll do it. And come to find out, doing a little more research on it, that it was an invitation only. And it was only taking certain people from representative from each state. And I was lucky enough to be selected, you know, not even trying. I'm sure somebody out there who was trying to get in the festival probably wasn't too happy with me. but I said, you know, great, I'll do it. And set it up and made my payment, went down there. Took place at the Cutting Room, which is owned by Tris Noth, the actor from Law & Order. And very cool. Little club, just a little quiet place right in New York City, and went over there and waited for my turn, got up there on the stage, and just let it fly. And it was a great experience. It really was. It took place in front of some different record execs from some major labels, and just went out there and just tried to knock them on their butts and do the best I could, and it went pretty well. You know, handed out a few demos and got some, you know, a few people that, you know, were very interested and asked for the demos and stuff, and it was a good experience. It was really good.
And there's nothing better that can happen to you than when people are asking you for your demo rather than you're trying to hand it to them, going, hey, would you like check this out, man?
Yeah,
a lot more likely they're going to listen to it, exactly, if they come and ask you for it.
Yeah, because they want it. You know, if they want it, they'll ask for it. When you're out there soliciting, trying to get people to listen to it unwillingly and stuff, you tend to get a little bit of friction, you know, a little resistance there. And I definitely had a lot of people that have been interested in the music, and that was the first, you know, big point, you know, as far as the trial disc. That came about, and it was a really great experience, and just looking for better things in the future, especially with the new disc.
Now, what's the website where people can check out?
The website is MySpace right now. It's a MySpace music site, myspace.com/sifudoe, S-I-F-U-D-O-E, and that has, you know, music on there. It's got four songs on there, a couple of shots from the new disc, two songs that are very popular from the first disc that everybody just loves. So I left those on there for a little while, try to get some, you know, people interested who like the first stuff and have them come over and take a listen to the new stuff. Gotten good responses from that. But you can link anything that I have, all the other different sites that I do have, because I have several different sites that are going on. A new place called Jamwave. Same thing, jamwave.com/sifudoe, and definitely getting a lot of good responses over there. And it's, like I said, the MySpace one is the main one where anybody can just go over there, take a listen, take a look around. There's a couple of videos on there they can watch me play. The songs are on there, and it's also going to be the CD Baby link is going to be on there where the CD can be sold.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up next week. And also Filafunk, which is a new one that's out there where people can purchase the downloads, purchase the whole album or the downloads.
Yeah, I think I've got a link to that on the Underworld blog. I was checking that. No, I Googled your name, and you know, I get like 7 or 8 responses that are all for sale. So I figure you've got a few outlets out there.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, get it out to as many people as I can. I mean, some people have like shied away from the MySpace thing, you know, because a lot of people just don't like that whole, you know, image that it had, you know, the singles mixer type of image.
Yeah.
And I think the music space has definitely picked it up another notch as far as giving it more respect now, because I mean, a lot of, you know, great music is out there. A lot of guys that are unsigned and
that's no lie. Styles. The Underworld's MySpace has you linked as a friend, and there's certainly a lot of great music on MySpace, for however cheesy people think that site is.
That is so ridiculous.
And it can be cumbersome sometimes as well, but there is a lot of great music on there.
Absolutely. I mean, and besides, you know, anyone who's not going to listen to different new music, whether it's the stuff we do on the show here locally or whether it's nationally, we're obviously going to, you know, push guys from our hometown here. But,
oh yeah,
you know, if anyone doesn't listen to a lot of things and give things a chance, you're really cheating yourself, because there's just so much out there. So
yeah, it doesn't always have to be the stuff that's on the radios. That's the thing I've noticed about the MySpace, is there's a lot of great artists out there, especially my genre, the guitar players, Shredders, and stuff like that. There's a lot of great guys out there that have done some great material on their own, and, you know, in their own dime, in their home studios, a little bit like this, and, you know,
put their heart and souls in it.
And there's some great stuff out there, you know. I mean, every type of genre. I mean, you got blues guys, you got metal guys, you got guys that are just rock, classic rock style guys, and guys that are in my type of genre, like progressive, you know, guys that kind of do like the Dream Theater, Gentle Giant type stuff, that do some phenomenal stuff, really great stuff.
How about if we, let's see the time, how about we do play another song from your disc, and then come back and maybe have you do some shredding live for us?
Sure, sounds good.
All right, let's just go to the next one on the disc. This is Breathe, again from Stephen Doe's Playing with Time disc.
Thank you.
All right, that one was Breathe by Stephen Doe. Now, you title yourself Sifu, Stephen Doe, and I had to look up Sifu because I was like, I know that that's going to be something. and I wanted you to tell me what it is just so I'm sure I've got the right idea.
Yeah, it's a Chinese word used in the Chinese community for a person of great knowledge, someone with respect. They use it for teachers. They use it for anyone who has greater knowledge than them and want to use it. But it's mostly used for a teacher in the martial arts.
Right. So, that's what I got. But yeah, that it could be anybody for really anything, but very often.
Right.
And that a lot of people misuse it and. Even in martial arts, and any instructor is Sifu,
right?
Which isn't the way that was intended. It's really, you know, tutor, master, you know,
right? And the term Sifu came to America and was used by teachers all over the place when Bruce Lee started teaching his martial arts.
Of course,
when he started teaching his system of martial arts, he used the title Sifu, and it wasn't intended for him to, you know, be claimed as like using as a term as the master. He was someone with great knowledge and willing to share that. Had greater knowledge than other people. I mean, look at the people that he taught afterwards. You know, he had Chuck Norris, he had Joe Louis, another great American kickboxer. All these, you know, great martial artists who were already established came to him to get more guidance. So this guy knew his, you know, his stuff.
Right, and I gather it's not not so much a term that somebody uses from conceit as like you were saying, a willingness to teach and
right.
And for other people, you know, wanting to learn from them, and then those people use it as a term of respect.
Exactly.
And it's not a conceited kind of thing.
Exactly. I mean, you know, a good example just happened. You know, we're listening to a song and the stuff, and Steven's over here, and he's giving us a little lesson, and Mike and I are in the corner with our hands in the air, wash on, wash off. You know? Get the respect.
Guy Harvey-san, you will send the floor.
Thanks, dude.
Pay the fence.
Well, I've got your guitar up over here. And if you know, if you want to talk and noodle, or just, you know, have us shut up while you play, or whatever you want to do, man, we're up for it.
Well, I can noodle a little bit for you if you'd like.
You have the floor.
Very nice.
And the smoke flies out of the room.
Some nice sweet picking going on there.
Nice everything.
Yeah.
And if there's nothing left of the pick now, folks, but dust.
He uses one pick every minute. It's just...
It's gone. It's in the air. One other
a little plastic residue left on his hands.
And the frets are now desperately in need of being completely refurbished, and that's what happens when you learn to play guitar like Steven.
Now, how old were you when you started?
I actually started playing guitar when I was 5. Started studying classical guitar.
So you started right off with the real easy stuff.
Yeah, I figured, you know, just go right to the, you know, the simple stuff. We'll deal with the hard stuff later.
Yeah, just a little Spanish classical guitar.
Yeah,
nothing to it.
Little flamenco, and started off doing that, and as any 5-year-old kid would, you kind of lose interest. And I kind of walked away from it for a little while and did some other things. You know, martial arts was one of those things I did. And then probably when I was about 12, just got back into it again, started listening to guitar playing, said, you know what, I'm going to dust this thing off and, you know, go see what I can, you know, do, see what, you know, what I can learn. And just had a hunger for it. I had a desire for it, loved doing it, loved playing. and I found a great teacher, taught me, you know, everything I needed to know as far as classical goes. He taught me everything I needed to know as far as jazz goes, and was always there to answer any questions I had, which is, you know, the most important thing with a teacher is having someone who will answer any questions you have. Because, you know,
oh, yeah.
They're not going to be able to read your mind and know what you want to learn or what you're looking to do, what kind of style you're looking to do. You have to be able to, you know, bring those questions to them. You may not even know yourself, and, you know, if he provides it. And he was a great teacher. And so I picked it up from there and just listened to every guitar player I could ever get my hands on, anybody that was worth listening to.
He must have been a pretty good teacher because, you know, at 12, a lot of people that are teaching guitars, they, you know, teach them Smoke on the Water, teach them a couple chords, and, you know, don't get a lot into experimenting with different sounds and different styles, at least not till they're quite a bit older.
Oh, what was great is I already had that, you know, from the beginning. I mean, I had the classical stuff, and of course, you know, like anybody, you kind of mess around with the Smoke on the Water stuff, you know.
Sure, because it's a cool song.
So you had, you know, I had it already, so it was, I wasn't coming in empty.
Yeah.
But he, you know, realized there's a few things I needed to kind of redo and, you know, focus on and be a little more discipline on. And we'd sit down and, you know, work on, you know, scales. We'd work on, you know, jazz scales. We'd work on, you know, blues scales. And we'd work on, you know, blues riffs. We'd work on, you know, any type of, you know, theory, you know, as far as composition or, you know, looking at a song, breaking it down and looking how they did this, why they changed the keys, how they changed keys, you know, transitional keys and stuff like that. He broke it all down for me, and I was, like I said, eager to learn. I just wanted to get my hands on anything I could.
So how long did you study with him?
I studied with him for like 4 years, studied as much as he had, and then one day went in there for a lesson, and it was a weekend, they were closed, and he would open up for a lesson for me. So I went in for my lesson. He said, "Oh, wait here for a minute." So I go in there. My father was with me. He goes up to my father. He goes, "I don't know what to do." And you know, my father was like, "What?" And he goes, I can't teach him anymore." And he was like, "What do you mean you can't teach him anymore?" He's like, I can't teach him anymore. He knows everything I have. He's gone as far as he can. And it was tough on me when my father told me. It was just like, you know, you can't teach me anymore. Well, where am I supposed to go now? I was kind of lost. And so I had to go out and look for stuff myself. So I went out, and I used to go to the Springfield Conservatory of Music in the summer. They used to have open classes free to everybody to learn advanced composition.
Ah.
Just go in there with some of the great, you know, composition teachers, study all the stuff that they had, kind of learn how to throw stuff together, how to combine keys, how to, you know, be able to change keys, transpose whenever you need to, shifting movements, different time signatures, you know, which I became more and more hungry for the more I got exposed to music with timing, especially like Rush and stuff like that was huge for me at that point.
Oh, yeah. You just said the Springfield Conservatory. You mean Springfield, Mass?
Springfield, Mass.
That's what, something in the water out there? That's where Tony McAlpine's from.
He was a guitar teacher at Wurlitzer Music when I was a kid. And I used to go in there and just, I think I was like 13, 14 years old, and go in there and just watch Tony play. Just sit there, hang out with him. My father used to take me to the clubs when he used to play out in his band, Lodestar. He had an original singer. Hal Jarvis was a singer in my band at one point. So it was one of those things.
Oh,
and he was a really cool guy. We were never tight friends, but I mean, I can go in there. He knew me by first name. I knew him the first name. We would talk and stuff because I mean, I was a little kid, but it was really cool. He was everything in there. And then when he got signed, it was just like, oh, you know, I'm not worthy. You know,
yeah, that's and, so wild. That's like a little circle out there. And what's even funnier was, well, he's doing that. He's going out to clubs to watch Jimmy Bell.
Yeah, Jimmy Bell, and then Grissom Pelletieri was popping up at the same time. Yeah. Out with Vice at the same time. I was there for that whole thing. I used to watch Jimmy Bell play, and I used to watch Grissom Pelletieri. I used to watch Tony McAlpine. And Tony was definitely the best of all of them. He was just incredible. Just absolutely incredible. I love Jimmy. Jimmy's a great, fast player. I always loved him. Very unique because he's a lefty. He just has a great look to him. And but Tony was just incredible. Tony was one of those people we all of us guitar players would just sit there and just go, whoa.
Yeah, and there's no signs of him slowing down.
No. He's got himself a great gig now working with Steve Vai, and he also does his own projects here and there. He does the Cab project every once in a while. He just did another project with Billy Sheehan and Virgil Donati. They've been touring out through Russia and stuff like that. And I mean, he's hard at work.
Well, it's cool you got to grow up with that kind of influence and things around you. But, you know, let me see. Let's kind of switch this back to you. It's kind of nice going down.
Before you do, one second, guy. FCC rules. It's 4:02. You're listening to WSEA, LP Portsmouth. Okay, go on.
But let's kind of switch.
I'm not kidding, FCC.
Back
so
to
as you. You were saying, hang on, I'm going to answer the phone. No, you guys talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, kind of curious. What do you think were the things you really just really got the most out of being around that? You know, maybe say the top three things that just stuck in your head.
It's definitely, you know, being a lead guitar player, being a crazy guitar player. It was definitely around that time. I mean, okay. We were all just like bigger, better, faster, play crazier, do as much as you can. And I took a lot away from that. And like I said, the stuff that happened with Tony when he got signed, that was a big impact on a lot of us. You know, a lot of the students that he had, a lot of the other young guitar players that were out there, myself and a few others that were good friends of mine. It was one of those things. We were all like, ooh, maybe it could be next. You know, we were sitting in our rooms, you know, practicing over and over and over and over and over, just religiously, just trying to get better and faster and do, you know, more innovative things and stuff. And that was a big part of it. I tried to take away, which was kind of ironic considering I studied so much classical, especially advanced compositions and stuff like that, was I tried to get away from classical. There were so many guitar players that were doing the neoclassical fusion that came out with, you know, Yngwie Malmsteen, and then, you know, McAlpine supported it. Vinnie Moore was another one that came out and doing the same type of thing. And then obviously Jason Becker was, you know, one of those guys that did the same type of style, but he incorporated it with speed metal, which made it a little bit different. We liked that. But I tried to stay away from that, you know, tried to keep myself consciously away from strictly classical, you know, that classical sound that you hear. I didn't want to have it sound like that and be a neoclassical guitar player. And I got really drawn into Rush, their types of music that they were doing, which was heavily, heavily arranged, but not in a style of like classical, but in that same discipline of it. And I needed to get a hold of that. And I really got attracted to that because of the way they would do hidden time. The type of timing that you don't feel unless you're tapping your foot and counting it. Suddenly they'd lose a beat, or suddenly they extended a beat, and you don't feel it because it was meant to be there. And that was one of those things that really drew me to it. Like, Dream Theater is incredible. I love them. I love the complexity of it. I love the challenge of it musically. The things they do. Mike Portnoy is a god on drums.
He is.
I absolutely love him. I think
I'm always exhausted after listening to Dream Theater.
Absolutely incredible. I mean, the biggest part of that band is Mike Portnoy, the way he, you know, commands the time in that band. And it's very complex timing, and it's awesome to do. I mean, I love timing music, as you'll hear on the desk, obviously.
Yeah.
But I was more attracted from myself, composing-wise, to the stuff that, like, Rush was doing, where it was hidden. I mean, you listen to, you know, like, Moving Pictures, you listen to Tom Sawyer, you listen to Limelight, you listen to Red Barchetta. It's the timing's there. There's things that are missing, but you don't feel like they're missing. It's meant to be that way. You feel what it's meant to be. And that's the thing that really attracted me to them. And what I tried to do with my music is suddenly there's an extra beat there, but you don't know it. I mean, the first track on my disc, Awakening, the one we listened to, that whole section is done in 3/4 time at the beginning, but there's an extra quarter beat. Not a whole beat, not a half beat, a quarter beat. So by the time it goes through the four measures, it returns back to the normal. So if you're tapping your foot, suddenly your foot's off a quarter. Then you go back, now you're off the half. Now you go again, now you're 3/4 of the beat. Then all of a sudden, at the beginning of the next section, the transition, you're on the beat again. But you don't feel it. It just suddenly, slowly moves into there. And that's what I was trying to accomplish with a lot of my music. And I mean, obviously, like, you know, track 4, Confusion, I pretty much hit you with a sledgehammer. Here you go, here's some timing.
Actually, that's what we're... I was just queuing up to play Questions and then just let that go right into Confusion, which is like 10.5 minutes of music.
Yeah.
But we'll hear exactly what you're talking about there in a minute.
Sounds good to me.
So you're saying in Confusion you very deliberately put in some very in-your-face kind of time changes.
Confusion was one of those ones where, I mean, the title was how I was feeling. It was very kind of like confused. Like, I had a great idea here. I'm working on this one. All of a sudden, in the middle of it, I'm working on another idea. I was like, okay, well, you know, I don't want to work on that. I want to work on this one. I got a different feeling today. All these different feelings and all these different types of techniques or different tracks that I was working on. I had a drum beat, or I had a keyboard part, or I had a guitar line that I was working on, and all of them were different sections. But it was like all of a sudden, one day I sat and listened to them, and I listened to the next section. I listened to the next section. I was, you know what? Let's put them together. And then I redid the whole thing with them together, going into transitions and playing with the different styles, and it worked out great.
Musical Jambalaya.
That's it. And then track six that comes later on does the same thing. And that one's one of my favorites just because it's the smoothest transition between
which,
it and much more
that?
Styles. That's track number six.
Oh, My Self-Reflection.
Yeah, My Self-Reflection.
Yeah, I've listened to that one quite a few times too.
That one's cool because that one's got a lot of different styles in it, a lot of different feels to it, a little bit of jazz feel to it, a little bit of... you know, straight ahead rock feel, straight, you know, it's a little bit of metal feel to it, a little bit of classic rock feel to it. And it was just a lot of different styles coming together, even classical movements that are in there.
I definitely have heard at least three or four of the six or seven things that you mentioned there in it just when I've been listening. Well, let's play some more of it then. This is going to be the third and then the fourth songs from your disc. This is Questions and Confusion back to back. This is going to be a lot of music, so enjoy it. We'll be right back. Woo-hoo, we can be interesting again. Okay. All right. We're back. we're back with the recording.
We're back with the recording, and we're probably completely out of anything interesting to talk about, but we can fix that in half a second. Get any sports of any kind?
Sports?
Oh, me? I used to play sports when I was a kid. I used to play like crazy.
Oh, you're brave. You play guitar and play sports. I didn't do that.
Well, I mean, martial arts and stuff. I had to be athletic and doing stuff like that, so... Mm-hmm. I've always had that, but I mean, when I was in high school and stuff, played baseball varsity, played football varsity. Definitely loved that. Had a chance to play minor league baseball. I passed up on, and I always love to play sports. Always, I think it's important to stay active, stay doing stuff that's fun, especially with kids.
Oh yeah,
I used to do that with the neighborhood kids when I was my teens and stuff. All the young neighborhood kids, get them out there, play baseball. You know, because a lot of them were just hanging around doing nothing. I was like, let's go play baseball, And they was like, okay, cool. Went out and played and had fun. Of course, it was great because I was older because I could put the ball, miles away.
Oh, yeah, you guys. They couldn't touch you.
Yeah, exactly.
You can slam that Nerf basketball while they can't even reach the rim.
Yeah, exactly. I was like Barry Bonds out there, they throw their pitch, their fastball, and I'd get crushed that thing,
That wiffle ball went for miles.
Yeah, exactly. Things lost in the woods, up in a tree somewhere.
You're looking at all the other kids and going... Yes. I'm so much bigger than you, you little twerp.
Yeah, you begin to feel like Will Ferrell as you're walking around there and you're taunting the little kids, I will take you yard. And it's like, he's like three. What are you doing? You want some of this?
Jeez. All right, any predictions? What do you think? The Patriots get a shot this year? Or do you even care?
Well, it's the NFL. Any team can beat any team at any time.
True enough.
They're still alive. They still hold 2-game lead. I mean, it's theirs to lose, let's put it that way, as far as the division. As far as the playoff goes, there's a lot of tough teams out there. But like I said, any team can beat any team at any time.
It's
football
true.
Would be more interesting if it were like hockey.
Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah, it'd be great if there was,
If you
like,
went two
minute offense was like mandatory, like, as soon as the guy was down, they just get back, set everything back up and go. No time to rest up or take a break.
Offense to defense with no transition, everybody hitting hard.
Oh, hockey's awesome. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, it just constantly goes.
Yeah, I love me some hockey, but I don't care about football. Football, I love the glorious violence, but the board meeting in between the few seconds of violence that goes on through the whole game just loses me.
That's really funny you mentioned that because there's two things. One, to me, I love the game even though that's true, it's true, man. It's like kill the guy with a ball.
I can respect that part.
In your case, it's kill the guy with a puck. But the funny thing is,
no, it's kill everybody.
Kill
everybody.
Don't touch the goalie, though.
That's right.
Don't touch the goalie.
This is true. That's funny. In comparison, there's a lot more going on because the average football game, an hour long game, averages in actual playing time 7.5 minutes.
Yep. It's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
So, do you
hockey, they don't even take a timeout to change out players, man.
Nope, they change.
You change out on the fly.
That's it.
I love that. Although in hockey, if you're at the game, you have those Budweiser timeouts when it's time for a beer commercial on TV. So the whole game just stops for absolutely no reason, for the people in the state in the stands.
So does any of this give you any reason to play still? I don't know. Maybe did you ever write a song about just remembering being a kid or doing things, maybe playing ball with everybody else? Or
I mean, it's funny. You asked me if I wrote something about being a kid. I mean, when I first started writing Playing with Time, it was going to be one song. That's why if you listen to song 1, 2, 3, and 4, it's all one song.
Yeah.
It all just goes right in.
Yeah, which is why it sound like they have some abrupt breaks, is because it's intended.
Right, it's intended
just flow
to be
right
one entire song. And, you listen to the titles, Awakening, you have, Questions, you have Breathe, you have Confusion. It's basically like, growing up, Awakening, birth, first time you realize that there's a whole world out there, you start seeing the things around you. Breathe, and it's just kind of like, take it all in, but, remember to breathe, or otherwise you'll suffocate. Questions, hey, every kid's got questions. Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? Why is that dog over there? What's the mailman doing in the bedroom again? questions like that. But, I mean, that was the thing. And then confusion.
Yeah, you do have kids.
As a teenager, you have the confusion, So that was the idea of the song. It was going to be, pretty much from birth to death was originally how it went. And then all of a sudden I kind of each song was kind of working on its own as a separate thing, and I kind of abandoned the idea and kind of went away in it. But I think it's something I may come back to again for a theme.
No, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. What you said, From Birth Till Death. So, you know, unfortunately, I don't think you can write the last song, and I don't think you really want to.
You can write it. You just can't finish it.
It'll just be the guitar sitting alone, feedbacking.
That's the end of the symphony.
That's like, it. Oh, man, that is morbid, man. I was like seeing it's like the whole thing's flatlined out, and all that's left is a guitar plugged in. So I'm like,
that's it. That'll be the last track I ever record. Because I'll record to the day I die. I could be in, you know, my deathbed, you know, priest give me last rites, and I'll still be playing. Hold on, just one more track. That's all.
In the end.
Tell your wife, goes, just turn that stupid thing off. Kicks it over, pulls the plug out, and then you're gone.
She'll unplug the guitar before she unplugs me.
No, that's what I meant, the guitar. Yeah. Not you.
Yeah.
Well, seeing as you're still alive, thank God.
After this, she might unplug me, so I've got to be careful.
What is, like, the one thing you think would be, like, the coolest thing that could ever come from you playing that when it's all over, people look back, and you could say you hope when people go, Stephen Doe was, or reminds me of, or just maybe the thing that did the most for them, that you could just sit there and pray to God, go, that would be so cool if somebody said that.
Are you going Barbara Walters on him here?
No, I'm serious.
If you could be a tree. I'm getting hit here. Sorry, go ahead.
I would be a weeping willow.
Yeah. No, seriously, because I remember I was reading this thing where a guy named Doug Marks, you probably know who he is, mm-hmm. Was saying the best compliment he ever got in his life was when he found out people were playing because of the lessons he was selling years ago, and now some of them are famous, and saying, yeah, I took those 20 years ago. That's so cool. I mean,
it's something. I mean, there's lots of different levels to it. I mean, obviously, the ultimate would be, you know, everybody saying, you know, Steve Doe was one hell of a guitar player. You know, he was a great guitar player, great songwriter, great artist, you know, in a broad spectrum, not just around my friends and things, but people I don't even know that I touch somehow musically. That's the ultimate. I mean, to hear that would be just incredible. But I think if someday I get somebody to come up to me and say, you know, I went and I learned how to play guitar and I learned how to be a better guitar player because of you, that makes me feel good. That would be something that would make me smile. If I make him a better guitar player.
Yep. That's about as good as it gets.
So
where are we at? Are we on to more music?
More music. Let's play My Self-Reflection.
Sure.
This is a pretty long one, like most of Steve's songs are. So
yeah, it's funny. That was a great way to lead into it. We didn't even know.
Yeah, good stuff. This is My Self-Reflection from Stephen Doe, and I'm stuttering, and it's from Playing With Time.
Thank you.
That was my self-reflection from Stephen Doe's disc, Playing with Time. You guys done over there?
Oh, yeah.
Can we talk on the air?
Sure.
if you've never sat in a room with two guitarists and you're a drummer...
You get bored out of your mind. Yeah. Hey, but drums. I play drums too. So
well, I know you.
We
do.
Can eliminate him, so we can start talking about that.
It's all right.
Hey man. Whoa.
What?
I'll introduce you to you.
Well, I also play bass, so we'll just start talking about bass.
That's true.
I know you by myself.
No, I don't want to go there. Just because I can do it, I don't want to admit it. Never mind.
I missed something, but that's
it's just one of these things. If you happen to be a guitar player and you learn how to play bass so you don't sound like a guitar player being bass, all of a sudden everyone forgets that you can play guitar.
Oh, yeah.
And all they want you to do is come play bass, and you get very unhappy.
It's because if anybody wants to be in a band, they should learn to play bass. Because
there's always a need for a bass player.
That's right. There's always. Never enough bassists out there.
No. Too many guitar players.
There's always a lot of guitar players. To find the really great ones takes some looking, but
Well, it's just like singers too.
You throw a rock,
singers are tough to find.
Yeah, throw a rock, you hit a guitarist. You know,
I get
lucky
on that deal.
In fact, we could have a contest here at the station of throwing rocks at guitarists.
Son tells me you'd win.
It's two of us and one of you, and I bet we can outrun you.
He can throw blind. One of us.
No, I'm a drummer, so I'd be throwing wrong or something.
As long as it's within like a foot and a half radius, 2 feet away, and he's got a stick.
Give him a drumstick.
He's deadly accurate.
He can hit us with a drumstick.
Okay. So, all right. Well, what do we do now?
We tell bassist jokes.
We tell.
What do you do if there's a bassist staggering around your front yard?
Shoot him.
You shoot him again.
Shoot him again.
Shoot him for not playing in your band. Plain and simple. Yeah, and most of the musician jokes like that I can't like most things. It's a miracle I get through a show because the way I usually talk. So the jokes, I can't tell them. Mike, take back
That's
over.
Right. Guy is over here censoring himself. And the FCC and WSCA, thank you. Thank you, Guy.
That'd be a riot.
Thank you so much, Guy.
Can you even imagine what it would be like if we just went through day-to-day conversation outside of here and you had to edit it?
Well, that's everybody's conversation as far as I can tell.
I don't know, man.
People edit themselves when it's necessary.
No,
the
I mean
the
if you had to do the editing after the fact, Steven would be sitting there going, man, it was a lot easier to write this music, for God's sake.
Yeah, I find myself doing that when I got to deal with homeowners in particular jobs that I do. you got to kind of check yourself because you're used to talking to the guys all day. You know, it's all, F-bombs going around, this, that, and the other thing. We're saying all this stuff, and also the homeowner comes out, hey, how you doing today, ma'am? Hey, nice to see you. Hope you're happy with everything. Everything looking good to you? That's great. I'm glad you're happy. And then you get back to the guys, and it's right back to the, and then this and that. It's like, oh. So
well, I'm fortunate that in my job, I don't deal with anybody in the public whatsoever.
You do, so you never have the opportunity, oh, my God, look at the,
Well, sometimes you have to watch who you're around when you say things, but I work in a nuclear power plant. A, it can be very loud. So if you're gonna swear at somebody, sometimes you have to do it really loud just to get the sound to them. And B, I'm in the lab all the time, which not.
No, I've never seen the inside of a nuclear power plant. Is it really like it is in The Simpsons?
No,
it's exactly like that. Exactly like that. Yes.
Come home every once in a while with a little stick of radiation.
Oh yeah, yeah. A little glowing green uranium rod.
That's actually.
I like to bring them home and use them for drumsticks.
That's where Mike and I met to begin with. Actually, no. Really, the funny thing is, you get into one, it's so clean. It's like walking through a hospital.
Really?
It's just heavy industry. I mean, it's what you. It's loud. It's hot. Amazingly, there's no air conditioning. That's one thing that everybody can't figure out is that why it is that it's always burning hot. But you spend that much money making heat. You don't just then air condition it all out. You can't get rid of that much heat anyways. But it's hot. It's loud. But.
Unless you live in the county.
Yes, where I live, I get to listen to music and chill most of the time, so that's good.
There you go.
And freeze, actually, because he's in like the only place that's somewhat
that does have. Yeah, well,
yeah.
It has to be because the equipment I use has to be kept refrigerated, so it's beautiful.
So, you know, it was funny we were talking while this stuff was on. It sounds like you and I got a little more in common. Hard labor.
Yes.
Why does that happen to us?
Yeah. I can tell you guys why it happens to you.
Okay, here we go.
It's because you put so much energy and so much of your life into learning to play your instrument and learning music that when it came time to have to make a living, you said, well,
whatever I can do I can get done at a decent time to get home and play guitar.
Exactly, yeah. And that's why you end up there. Now, me, I took a different path. And you know, the way that I pay for the path I took is that for 10 years, I didn't get to play drums because I was moving too much and I was in apartments. And so for a very long time, I didn't get to play at all. So consequently, I suck. But so, you know, just a different way of going about it.
Now, what do you think, man? Like, going on what he just said, I'll stick with the path I took you.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely will.
Yeah. See, I'm happy with mine. But
so I see it all just works out in the wash for everybody.
Oh, yes. Hey, we're starting to run low on time. Let's play more music. Yes?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. This one is Hidden Time. We'll be right back. We're going to finish up the disc here. Got one more song from Stephen Doe's Playing with Time CD, and this is called Stratospheric. Once I get, there we go, get it queued up.
Yeah, we talk. Okay.
Okay.
Talk.
Yeah.
He said talk.
This is what you call getting thrown on the hook again.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to sneeze, but I didn't. Nobody would have appreciated that.
We'll talk and you would like it.
You.
Oh, man, I can't add anything to it because it's all dirty.
I can say the most obvious real stupid one. He had a phase of making you talk. Sorry. I know that was lame.
Is it safe?
Yeah. Oh boy. Okay, so
we got
movie references.
We have 7 minutes to go here, people. Talk fast. Real fast.
Go, go.
Go, go, go.
Go, yep. Talk fast, talk fast.
Topic is music. Go, 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 go.
It's funny, you know, when the songs are going, we can't shut up. And then when it gets on the air, it's like, huh?
No, but actually, we got all kinds of good material out of that. I mean, you know, we got to figure out ways to, you know, torture
small animals.
You know, well, not small animals, but we did get into the fact that, you know, all you got to do is get a drummer around who gets a little too excited, get a little bit too much to drink, and they play really fast. And yes. Mike, why don't you elaborate on that just a little bit over there?
I don't know about going fast, but the time just goes all over the place. Now, it can be fast if you say, okay, well, give us a tempo. Hey, somebody's calling. I'm not going to answer it.
Answer the phone, man.
We'll answer it on the air then.
Okay. Uh-oh. Okay, whoever you are, you're going to be on the air.
WSCA, this is Mike, and you're on the air.
Yeah.
Hello? That's what always happens. They're never calling to talk to me on the air. I don't get it.
That's terrible.
Well, you know, if you're still out there and you want to call back in, go right ahead. I seriously doubt you're going to, but if you do want to, go ahead. And thanks for breaking up a perfectly good conversation.
Nah, I liked being... That wasn't going anywhere for me, so I liked it.
Hey, caller, come
okay.
on.
With a couple drinks, if you just say, okay, give us a tempo, well, the head sometimes doesn't think of what the song is supposed to sound like right then, and we just make up a tempo. Okay, here we go.
It's a ballad. Hey, hey. Yeah. Stairway to Heaven. Stop it.
We'll play it in cut time.
No, in triple time. Actually, you know, maybe you know, I think I've heard that song enough times. I think
it triple time
it.
Is good.
It could use it.
Yep.
It could definitely use
can you
it.
Imagine how difficult that would be to play at the end? Three times faster, and how much that would wear
which
you
which
out.
Which song are we talking about now?
Stairway
to Heaven.
Freebird, man. Freebird, man.
No, Freebird's a killer anyway. People could say what they want, but just the endurance it takes to keep bending those notes like that.
Oh, yeah.
I just love screaming Freebird at you when you're on stage, guy.
Yeah, and how many times have I flipped you off because of
every time.
I'll give you a Freebird.
Quick, let's get a caller in here that's a musician that's never had that said to
yeah, but for those of us that are down in the audience, it never gets old.
No.
Never,
it's
ever,
always,
ever.
It's funny.
Always funny. Like yelling more cowbell. It's always funny.
It's always funny is you get the one guy that actually looks around like, you ready to do it? We going to do it? The other guy's like, just stop it. We're not doing that.
It's true. You know, and then you get some other wise guy. It turns into this mess on stage. It's like, oh, man, we want to do Freebird now. We want to do Stairway to Heaven. Okay, hold on a second. Let me think of something else really lame. Then you go into television commercials. And you get some idiot guitar player like me over there doing like the little stupid.
Just please no Mustang Sally. Please. For the love of all that is decent and holy.
That's your one song that
cover bands is stop playing Mustang Sally. I know people want to hear it. I don't care. They're idiots.
Mine was Taking Care of Business. Never, ever would I ever want to hear that song.
Oh,
ever
Mustang
again.
Sally.
That one.
That too.
Oh, my God. I hated that song.
Stormy Monday. Oh, come on.
What are some other totally overplayed songs?
Well, most of the stuff.
Silence.
Okay, I'm not going to say that.
Because we're all trying to think of songs that we don't play.
If my band plays it, it's not overplayed.
That's right.
So what are you kidding me? All the stuff we play
there's no way
was overplayed.
Hotel California is not overplayed. There's no way.
No way, man.
Oh, man.
People barely remember that one. It's a forgotten classic, man.
Yeah, sure. And that only happened to be one of the top-selling records of all time.
Yeah.
Yes.
It makes sense of that right up there with Billy Joel's greatest hits.
Yeah.
Actually, I gotta give credit. Billy's cool. He's a good songwriter.
Okay, somebody tell me how Eddie Money ever made a dime as a singer.
Crooked Cop.
There you go. Shakedowns.
I don't know. Actually, I don't mind it. But
Flat Feet. I don't know. Sympathy.
He's the Tony Danza of music. I can't figure
never
out.
Never heard that before. Tony Danza.
That's my own, because I can't figure out why Tony Danza ever made a dime as an actor, but I can't figure out how Eddie Money ever made a dime as a singer. I just don't get it. Sorry.
We're all looking at each other right now going, I have nothing. I absolutely have nothing.
Yeah, everybody's like, I'm spent. Never mind. So, I don't know. Where do you want to finish up here? Do you, you want to play again, or do you want to like hang out and shoot the breeze out through the rest of the show and bore the audience to tears? Actually, that they're probably not. If the people listen to the podcast later on will be like, yeah, man, I got fast forward.
Hey, there's a song.
They're going,
there's
but,
a song.
But I like Freebird.
Yeah, that'll be the one place that one person stops. And
that'll be the one comment that I ever made that I'll get like a flood of email And if you want to email me and complain about me saying that, it'd be underworld@underworldrock.com.
And actually, there's a brilliant, incredible design concept to the way Mike put that together on the Underworld website. Isn't it the abuses section?
Yes, that is in the abuses section.
And if you need to, you know, get any kind of guidance as to how this will work and what you can actually learn from it, just go there and...
Yeah, you can tell us how much we suck, or you can, you know, tell us how great we are. You can go to our MySpace page and find Stephen Doe, who a virtuoso who's been our guest today. If you can't tell, I'm wrapping up because it's coming close to time here.
Okay, so what is that?
We'll just hold that off for a second.
Yeah, we'll forget that.
Steve, thanks for coming in today, man. It's been really interesting. Really appreciate you coming all the way up here.
It's been great.
And Guy, thanks for joining me again, man. Well, always welcome to come and hang.
Always welcome to come and think of the next stupid thing to say.
Yes. Somebody's got to do it.
Well, Steven, thanks for coming out. And, jeez, I got to get a lesson or two. I was saying that a couple of weeks ago. Now I'm saying it again,
Well, the music is awesome.
Yeah.
And the disc, again, is Playing With Time, Sifu Stephen Doe. And you can check out his MySpace page at myspace.com/SifuDoe, S-I-F-U-D-O-E. And if you forget that one, then you can find the link on the Underworld's MySpace page in case you're one of our friends already. And that's myspace.com/TheUnderworldRadioShow. And we'll put up some links on the blog and on the underworldrock.com site as well. So thanks a lot for coming in, man. It's been very interesting.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it.
It's been great.
Good night, John Blake.
Well, it's 5 o'clock, and you're listening to WSCA LP Portsmouth 106.1 FM. And coming up next is Democracy Now!